3 behind an accident, so apologize for that. I think we're connected at Beat. So
Beat.
We're good. This hasn't been connected to this in a long time. So we'll I'll just do one real quick for you before the message. And as Brother Kevin said, we definitely want to wish all you fathers and grandfathers, soon-to-be grandfathers. My goodness, that's the first I've heard of that. That is wonderful news. But we want to wish you all happy Father's Day this morning. This is kind of an old song that recently started coming back a little bit when one of the newer groups started redoing it. But it's one that I've been doing for a long time, and it's one that is special to me because it was one of my grandmother's favorite songs. So we'll try to do it for you real quick here before we get into the message.
Somewhere beyond the grave, there's a land that Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the saved by grace, there is a resting place. And in a few more days, it all will be mine. Some call it call it home, and some call it dreaming. Oh, please let me dream on. And some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven. Oh, but I call it home. Now someone said you can't go back home again, 'cause things will not ever be as good as they've been. Oh, friend, I've got good news for you. When heaven comes into view, just one glimpse and you will know the best is yet to come. Some call it heaven, oh, but I call it home. Some call it dreaming. Let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven. Oh, but I call it.
Morning, and you're able to say that heaven is your home. Those that I think I was upstairs trying to get the door unlocked. I think we've just got two new folks with us. Is that right?
Just one over here.
Right there. Yep. Never met you before, but Matt Lanham. So I'm the associate pastor at a little church called Mount Calvary Community Church up in Alexandria, and I'm also an Air Force chaplain. And every once a month or so, I get to come down here and have the wonderful privilege and honor of of sharing God's word down here at Wise, and it's always an honor and privilege, and especially after over a year of not being able to come down here and worship because of COVID, we're so glad and so fortunate that we're able to do that this year. As I was trying to think of what to preach on this morning, I kept coming back to this story, and you know, it's kind of funny when you when you're in church and you hear messages on Mother's Day, you hear all of these wonderful flowery messages about our wonderful mothers, and I've delivered a lot of those, and we talk about Proverbs 31 and all of these things, sing the praises of our mothers, and then Father's Day rolls around it seems like we pull out all the sermons where we're just pointing fingers at dads and saying, "Dad, you're not doing this, and you're not doing this, and you need to do this, this, and this." And I feel like our dads kind of get the short end of the stick, so to speak, when we're preaching those messages. But I wanted to focus on a story this morning about a father from the New Testament, the book of Mark, Mark chapter 5. This is probably a story, if you've been in church before or any time at all, you've probably come across this story before, or at least heard it before, whether it was in a sermon or whether it was in a Sunday school lesson, whatever the case might be. This is probably a familiar story, and if it's not, we'll tell it to you anyways. This is a story about a dad named Jairus, and I'll read the scripture first, and then we'll tell you a little bit about the story. Mark chapter 5. I'll start in verse 21. Mark 5:21 says, "When Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the sea. One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, 'My little daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her so that she can get well and live.' So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following and pressing against him." And I'm going to skip on down to verse 35, because in between here we have another story. Brother Kevin alluded to this story even in his prayer there about the woman with the issue of blood, and but that's for another sermon for another day. So we'll skip on down to verse 32, and it says, "But he was looking around to see who had done this. The woman, with fear and trembling," that's speaking about the woman with the issue of blood, "said, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. 'Daughter,' he said to her, 'your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction.'" And then we get back to this story about the man named Jairus. It says, "While he was still speaking, people came from the synagogue leader's house and said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?' And when Jesus overheard what was said, he told the synagogue leader, 'Don't be afraid, only believe.' He did not let anyone accompany him except Peter, James, and John, James's brother. And they came to the leader's house, and he saw a commotion and people weeping and wailing loudly. And he went in and said to them, 'Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep.' They laughed at him. But he put them all outside, and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the place where the child was. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, get up.' Immediately the girl got up and began to walk. She was 12 years old. At this, they were utterly astounded. Then he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this and told them to give her something to eat." Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to be in this place, to gather together to worship you, and in the next few minutes to look into your word, to receive the message that you have for us for this time. Lord, we thank you for it and pray that you would speak through me, that my words would not be mine, but that they would be yours. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, this is a story about a dad, a dad named Jairus that obviously loved his daughter, his little 12-year-old daughter, very much. And we see that if you read before this, we won't take the time to do it, but if you read before this in the first part of chapter 5, we see Jesus going about doing his earthly ministry, and we see these miracles being performed and these stories and these parables being told. And right before this, we see a story about a man who was possessed with demons and was living in tombs, in basically a cemetery, because of the demons that were possessing him, and he couldn't be around people. And Jesus comes upon him and casts these demons into a herd of pigs. and the pigs get crazy, and they literally run off of a cliff. And so we see Jesus doing all of these things. And then we come to this verse where it says he crossed over the sea. By this time, not only the story about this man that was possessed with demons, but all of these other things that Jesus had been doing, the stories were beginning to spread, and the reputation was beginning to spread, and people were following Jesus everywhere that he went. And we see that he's coming across, and he comes into town, and we see that, as was the case many times, this crowd was pressing around him because they wanted to see this man that was doing all of these things. They didn't really know a whole lot about him other than the fact that people were going around saying, "Did you hear about this guy named Jesus and the things that he's doing? The people that are healed, the demonic people that are released from their demons, and all of these miracles that he's doing." And they're coming by, just wanted to get a glimpse. And we see that there's this man named Jairus, and the Bible tells us that he was a leader in the synagogue. And when you go back and research this a little bit, we see that he wasn't necessarily a rabbi or a teacher or a preacher, but he was an elder in the church at that time. And it's an interesting situation and an interesting predicament that you might find this man in, because some of the others who had heard all of the things that Jesus had been doing were the church leaders. And as you read along in the story in the New Testament, you see that these church leaders were growing very anxious about this man named Jesus, because the things that he was doing were threatening to their very way of life. Because these folks that were in these positions had very comfortable lives for themselves. They were taxing the people. They were doing all of these things. They lived very good lives because of the influence that they had on these people. And then you have this man coming along named Jesus that's saying, "Hey, these are the things that you don't need to do, because all you have to do is believe. You don't have to buy these sacrifices and do all of these things anymore, because I've come to set you free from these things." And so we see that this man named Jairus has a daughter, and something happens. She gets sick. She gets very sick. And Jairus, I'm sure, had heard, as we see, this man named Jesus, and heard about him, and heard about the things that he was doing, and the miracles that he was performing, and the people that he was healing, and all of the things that he was doing, probably because the other church leaders were speaking amongst themselves, saying, "What are we going to do about this guy? He's threatening our very way of life." And so Jairus decides, "I'm going to do everything that I can to get my daughter well, to try to save her. I'm going to go talk to this man named Jesus." Even though the ones that he served with in the church at that time probably would have cast him out had they known what he was doing. So we see that Jairus goes and he finds Jesus, more than likely just followed the crowd, because the crowd was following Jesus around. And we see that he's trying to get to him, and he's trying to get to him just to say, "Just come with me for a moment so that you can heal my daughter, because I've heard about what you've done for other people." And we see that, like I said, this, in the meantime, this woman with this issue of blood, this disease, comes along and pushes through the crowd and touches the hem of Jesus' garment while Jairus is waiting to speak to Jesus. And she is healed just by having the faith to touch his garment, his robe. And so we see that after this happens, Jairus is waiting, and some of the folks from his house, some of those that he served with in the church and his servants, run up to him and say, "Jairus, there's no need. You don't need to bother this man anymore. Just come on home, because she's dead. Your daughter is dead." Jesus, of course, knew everything that was going on, and he overheard what they told him. And in verse 36, he says, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." And so then we see that Jesus comes to this man's home. And of course, he sees the emotion and the commotion that's going on outside the home. Everyone's gathered around. They're weeping. They're wailing. They're crying out, saying, "Oh, this little 12-year-old girl has died." And then Jesus speaks to them and says, "Why are you making all this fuss? She's not dead. She's just asleep." And of course, as we read on in the story, says the people laughed at him, but Jesus takes Jairus and the girl's mother inside and simply tells her to get up. And she gets up. He raises her from the dead. And so we see this man named Jairus. And like I said, while this message might be directed at fathers, I for one am not a father yet, but the message that's contained here can be for anyone. And the lessons that we can learn from this dad named Jairus are lessons for anyone, whether you're a father or not. They're lessons for all of us. First thing that I want to look at is the fact that and I'm taking these points from the perspective of Jairus' daughter, looking at Jairus and some of the things that she's seeing in this man, her dad. First thing that she saw and was able to see from her dad was she saw that he wasn't ashamed to seek out Jesus. Like I said, and like I alluded to, this man named Jairus was a ruler in the church at the time and was a very powerful man, not just in the church, but in the community, in the town. Because of his position, he had so much influence on those that were around him. And because of what was going on, and because of the things that Jesus was doing, and the threats, the perceived threats, at least, to the church at the time that these other religious leaders were seeing from this man named Jesus, simply going to him to speak to him was a threat on everything that he had, a threat on his own livelihood and his life. But we see that in his time of need, he was not ashamed to seek out Jesus. We see that he didn't send one of his servants to find him. He didn't even send his wife. He sent and went himself to find Jesus and to seek Jesus. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:4, and it says, "And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Another translation says, "Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord." Jairus' daughter would have been able to see that Jairus wasn't ashamed to seek Jesus. Like I said, he didn't send anyone else, but he sought the Lord himself. Regardless of his social position, regardless of the onlookers, the townspeople, we see that when Jairus gets to Jesus, he humbly falls on his face and cries out to God and says, "Jesus, I need your help. My daughter is dying." So we need to let our children, we need to let those around us know that we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of the God of the gospel. We need to lead them to God. We need to walk with them in God. We need to experience God together with them. So first, she was able to see that Jairus wasn't ashamed to seek out Jesus. Secondly, we see that she saw that he wasn't ashamed to bring Christ into his home. You might ask, why was this a big deal? Like I said several times already, we must not forget who Jairus was and the position that he held in the religious community. And to the religious crowd of the time, this man named Jesus was a rebel rouser, so to speak. He was a friend of sinners. He was a troublemaker, and he was a threat to their very existence and the power that these leaders held. And to the other leaders of this time, and to the other folks in the church at this time, this would have been unheard of to have this man named Jesus under their own roof. I'll tell you, one thing that our country needs today more than anything else are some Christian homes. Amen. Some homes where Christ is welcome to reside. Some homes where Christ is welcome. Homes where he's more than just a picture on the wall, but he's a place where his presence is acknowledged, his name is honored, and his word is obeyed. Psalm 127 tells us, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert over it in vain." Satan wants nothing more today than to come in and steal our families, to destroy our homes. As John tells us in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Regardless of what others say, regardless of what others think or do, let us stand like Joshua did in the Old Testament, declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jairus' daughter saw that he wasn't ashamed to seek Jesus. Secondly, he wasn't ashamed to invite Jesus into his home. Lastly, she saw that he wasn't ashamed to express his love toward her. We see that, you might ask the question, well, what took Jairus away from his daughter's side to seek out this Jewish teacher named Jesus? What compelled him to fall at Jesus' feet in the midst of this crowd and cry out to Jesus, I beg you, please come? What would cause a man to forget his place in society and what others might think about him or say about him? Simply put, it was love. He loved his daughter, and this love said, I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to go where I have to go to see that you're made whole and to see that you're made well. Like I said, the scriptures tell us that she was 12 years old at the time of this. We don't know how much longer she lived after this, but one thing that we know for certain, she knew that she was alive and well simply because her father loved her enough to do whatever he had to do to make her well. Perhaps she grew to have children of her own, and I'm sure those grandchildren heard the story of how their grandfather sought a man, a teacher named Jesus, how he put his reputation on the line, and how their mother was brought back to life because of their grandfather's love for his child. Her life was truly an example, a living example of the power of God. I'm reminded that love isn't about giving a child everything that they ask for. It's not a closet full of toys, a drawer full of clothes, a large allowance, the latest piece of technology and toy, but love is simply sitting that child down, looking them in the eye, and sharing the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation, the gift of a God who loves them, a God who sent His Son to die for them, to purchase their salvation. I can't think of anything so tragic, to be together here on this earth, but to be separate for all eternity, simply because you never took the time to share the love of God and the gospel and the salvation message. It's a simple story. It's a story with a powerful miracle in it. Jesus raising this little girl from the dead. It's a story about a dad named Jairus that was a powerful man and yet put all of that aside because of the love that he had for his daughter. It's a story that while the message might be directed more towards a father or a grandfather or a father figure or whatever the case might be, it's a story with lessons that all of us can have and all of us can learn from. Don't be ashamed to seek Jesus. Don't be ashamed to invite Jesus into your home, and don't be ashamed to share your love for one another, especially the love that would cause you to share the love of God and the love of Christ with others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those fathers, those grandfathers, the father figures in our lives that have had an impact on each and every one of us. And I pray, Lord, for each one that's here, whether they're a father or not, I pray that you would help us as we go about our lives, and those that are looking to us and looking up to us just because they see us going to church on Sunday, just because they see us and hear us talking about you, and they know what we stand for. Help us to always share your love with them. Help us not to be ashamed to seek you. Help us not to be ashamed to share what you've done for us out of love for you and love for them as well, because that's what you have commanded us to do, to love one another and to share your gospel and the message of your salvation with those around us. Lord, we thank you. If there's one here within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, that has never accepted you, that has never called out to you for salvation, I pray, Father, that they would seek you today before they leave this place and that they would turn their lives over to you and join your family. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.